Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And I want to read the first four verses as a basis for our message. And I want to take a statement out of that passage and use it for our text tonight. Next Sunday, Brother Lassiter will be preaching all day, teaching the Sunday school, preaching a.m. and p.m., and then the following Wednesday night. And then after a week of praying and fasting, the following Wednesday night, December the 16th, our church will vote whether to call him as co-pastor to become pastor in the year 2010. And I want to just talk to you tonight for a little while about on this subject. He that is called of God. He that is called of God. Now, here in chapter 5, a comparison is being made of the priesthood of Aaron and Jesus, the great high priest. Now then, the Mosaic priesthood, Levitical priesthood, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All they did and all they were pointed to Christ Jesus. And they mediated between Israel and God in the sacrificing of offerings and so forth. And Jesus now is our great high priest. Chapter 4 concludes with the invitation to come boldly under the throne of grace that we might receive grace and mercy to help in our time of need, telling us that we've got a great high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands our heartaches and he understands our need. And there are no such thing in the New Testament church as priest today. Now, if you see someone calling themselves a priest, you know they come from a false church. Okay, you don't have to go into the name of the religion. If they're a priest, they're a part of a false church. Okay? there are no priests in a official capacity as a priest. However, every believer is a priest believer. You don't have to have someone to pray for you. There's only one mediator now between God and man, and that's that man Christ Jesus. And every believer has as much access to Him as any preacher in America. But I want to use just a statement out of chapter 5 where it deals with calling the high priest or calling out the priest. And you begin to read with me in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 5. Stand out of love and respect for the word of God. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for God, for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Now I'll leave off reading there, and I want to use these passages to help you to think about the calling of men of God today, preachers. Preachers, men of God, to preach the Word of God. And just a few thoughts that we glean from this that will help us to look at the men of God. And now let me say to you, in God's sight today, don't you mess with God's preacher, because you're messing with God. I mean, go back in the Old Testament and you read some of the things that God talks about touching His anointed and God's judgment on those people. But He also at the same time tells us that the man of God is just a man. He can't save himself. He can't save anybody. He has to have his own sins forgiven, and he has to deal with the sin problem in his own life the same way you do, through Jesus Christ. But he is still a man called of God. Now, someone has said that they don't know if there's a call, they just thank God for volunteers. Well, I want you to know, I know there's a call. I thank God for volunteers. But I want you to know God called me as surely as He saved me, and I know it. I know it with the same assurance. And I must say, if I'd been just a volunteer, I'd have unvolunteered 100 times. But I can't quit having been called of God and ever be right with God. So listen tonight for just a few minutes to the message. Father, help me as I look at this, and I thank you for the fact that you set in place in the Old Testament men who would minister for men before God. You called them priests. And you chose out a high priest to go into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer the blood of sacrifice representing Jesus Christ on the mercy seat in behalf of the people. Now, Father, I thank you that you are the fulfillment of all of these Old Testament priests. There's no need for them anymore. There's no need for sacrifices to be offered again and again and again, which were but a picture of yourself, Jesus Christ. I thank you that you have fulfilled all of the types and the pictures in yourself. And you offered yourself one time for sin forever. And you sat down at the right hand of God, sin being paid for completely, and sinners anywhere and everywhere can be saved by simple faith in Jesus Christ. But help us to glean some things tonight about the man called by God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Let me say first of all that I'm concerned about the lack of sincerity and devotion among some who say they're called of God into the ministry. Now, I see people all the time in secular business more devoted to their business than those who say they're called of God are devoted to God. And that's a shame. That's a disgrace. There's no place in God's calling for lazy men. If you're lazy and you're not going to get right about it and deal with it and get over it, then you don't need to call yourself a man of God and bring shame upon the cause of Jesus Christ. There's no place in the ministry for lazy men or undisciplined men or carnal men. We may not be the brightest lights on the string, but we must have a great energy to work. We must have discipline to be on time and stick to the job until it's done. We must know how to walk with God and walk in the Spirit so we can operate in the wisdom of God's Word and in the will of God. Now, I'm disappointed in some so-called preachers who say they're called of God to the ministry and they're lazy, they're undisciplined, they have poor character, and they're just plain carnal. God can use a man who flunks out academically, who's not lazy, who's disciplined, and who's submitted and surrendered to allow the Holy Spirit of God to control his life. He can use such a man 1,000 times better than he can use the brilliant, lazy, undisciplined, carnal individual. I want to say a few words tonight about the man who is called of God. Verse number 4 in Hebrews 5 says, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Now, knowing the ministry, the Bible says that if a man desire the office of a bishop, one of the evidence of God's call is he desires to preach the Word of God and be to pastor. Now, knowing that we have about us depravity, we're sinners by birth and sinners by choice, and knowing something about the ministry, it's hard to comprehend anybody in the flesh would want to be a preacher. To know what he has to go through and has the nitpicking and the politicking and the complaining and the belly aching and the hurting and the weeping and the sorrows and the disappointments. I don't know why anybody would ever desire to be a preacher, a pastor, except God puts that desire in his heart. It's God that does it. I promise you it's not the devil. And it's not flesh. If it's flesh, they're not going to last very long. God puts that desire in there. And God doesn't take it away. No man can take this honor to himself, but he that is called of God. And let me say to you, it's an honor to be called into the ministry. It's an honor. Whether a man pastors for 4, 5, 6 years, 10 years, or he pastors for a lifetime, it's an honor to be used of God, to be blessed of God, to be entrusted by God with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He that is called of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me." So many young preachers think it's about their talent and their abilities and their personality. But the fact is, if you're going to ever be successful in the ministry, it's about God enabling you, or you're going to flunk out. Paul said, God enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now God did it. God did it. I look at some of the people God called, and I don't know if I would have called them. I think God sees things in us we don't see in ourselves, and we don't see in others. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul said, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, and then he says, separated unto the gospel of God. A man called of God. Now I want to say four or five things about that calling. First of all, it's a calling from God, not a career to choose. It's a calling from God, it's not a career to choose. If I was choosing a career, I wouldn't choose a career as a pastor or a minister. If I was going to choose a career, I'd choose something that would financially benefit me more than the ministry financially benefits the average preacher. Now, I'm not complaining. God has taken far better care of me than I've ever deserved. And I want you to know I didn't give up anything. I hear people talking about they gave up their business and their careers in order to obey God and preach the gospel. I want you to know I was a sinner on my way to hell when he saved me. And I was a nobody going nowhere when he called me. Everything I have in my life is the result of God enabling me and God blessing me and God using me. But it's a calling from God, not a career we choose. A man that is called of God. I want you to know I feel badly that those of us who say we're called of God don't have a better testimony than we have. I feel badly that some people treat the ministry so carelessly and so lightly. I feel badly that some people use the ministry simply as a means to gain finances. They're hirelings. They're not servants of the living God. They don't mind taking advantage of the people for their profit and their benefit. But not so with a man called of God. A man called of God has not chosen a career. He is in this ministry because he's a man called of God. And then the second thing I want to say to you, just like the priest, God, the man called of God is called from among men for men. Look at verse number 1. For every high priest taketh taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Now God calls the man of God from among men. There was a time that I sat in church just like you sat in church. I had my pew just like you have your pew. And I had it walled out so it fit me to a T. I did what some of you do and others ought to be doing. I went to Sunday school faithfully. I stayed for church. I didn't leave early. I came to prayer meeting on Sunday night. I stayed for the Sunday night service. I helped at work night and work days. I was present on Wednesday night. I sang in the choir. Thank God for grace. I sang in the choir. I went soul winning and visiting. I worked a bus route. I can go down streets in Bedford, Euless, Hearst, and part of Fort Worth, and I can tell you story after story after story from house after house after house. In fact, our last week of soul winning, I was knocking some doors in an area that I used to run a bus route. And I knocked on this door, and this old man and woman came to the door, and they said, "Are you Bob Smith?" And I said, "Yes." They said, "I can't believe this. You knocked on our door 40-something years ago and picked our son up on the bus. And he got saved. And next Sunday we brought him back and he got baptized." Man, I know what it is to sit where you are. I've been there. But God called me from among men, for men. Let me stop right here and say to you, there's more people sitting out there that God's called than are willing to answer the call. There's young men, there's older men, there's middle-aged men that God has dealt with your heart and called you into the ministry, and for some reason you haven't loved Him enough to yield to His call. And you're going to end up the loser in life. The man of God is called from among men, and he's called for men. Thirdly, the person who is called of God must be a man of great compassion. That word compassion means he feels the hurt in another person's heart or life. He's got to be able to feel it. He's got to be able to understand it. He's got to have compassion for people he deals with, he ministers to. Now, I didn't say he's got to like everything they do, but he's got to have compassion for them. And he goes on to tell us here, for those that are ignorant. Got to have a lot of compassion for that, because there's plenty of them in our churches. They know nothing about the Word of God. They know nothing about the will of God. They know nothing about wisdom. They make decisions based on flesh and sight. And they get themselves in a mess, and you want to tell them, "You're the stupidest person I've ever met in my life." But you can't. The man called of God's got to be a compassionate man. And understand, but for the grace of God, you would have been there. But for the direction of the Word of God, you'd have made those same mistakes. And so you're there to help them, to pray for them, to weep with them, to have compassion for them. I talk with people week after week after week that come out of horrible situations, horrible hurts, home lives, that they've been deprived of so many things. And then I deal with some that are so self-centered. Everything's about them. They don't think about anybody else, or don't consider how somebody hurts for them, and somebody's weeping over them, and somebody's suffering because of them. They just think about themselves, what they want, and nothing else. Man, a real man wants to grab them up by the collar and just, "Wake up, stupid!" But you can't. You can't. But we've got to have compassion for them. And we better have compassion, because we know somewhere down the road, and not very far down the road, they're fixing to suffer a hurt beyond anything they can comprehend. See, those kind of people are not going to make it. Those people will not last very long. They'll end up in jail. They'll end up in a divorce. They'll end up in a broken home. They'll end up hurting people like they've been hurt. It's got to be a man with compassion for the ignorant, for the backsliding. Those who are saved but are not living in the way of God. Look at verse number 2. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? So you've got some dumber than rocks you've got to deal with. And then you've got some that are just downright backslidden, carnal Christians that got out of the will of God and out of the way of God, and they're on their way to the hog pen. They may be in the hog pen. We've got to have compassion with them. Then there are those who know nothing about God. They know nothing about salvation. They're lost, and we've got to have compassion for them. Men called of God must be a compassionate man. Fourthly, the man called of God must be a man concerned about sin. Concerned about sin. Look at verse number 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to men, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. The priest had a responsibility to the people, and it had to do with sin. He had to be concerned about their sins. The man of God had better be concerned about sin, because he is one. He's a sinner. And the people he deals with are all sinners. Thank God, there's a great number that are saved by grace and rejoice in it and trying to serve God. But the greater number of people we deal with on a day-to-day basis are people that are allowing sin to rule over them. And we've got to be concerned about sin. Sin in the world, sin in our life, sin in their life, sin in the home, sin in the marriage. And I don't mean we've got to be people who are for it. As they say in Myrtle Spring, we got to be against it. Not for it. But we better be concerned about it. Concerned about sin in the lives of others. There's so much so-called preaching going on today that never mentions sin. You do understand that's the reason Jesus came. You do understand that's the reason He died on the cross. You do understand that was the reason the resurrection was necessary. The blood atonement was necessary. We better be concerned about sin. Pointing the way to Christ so unsaved people can be forgiven and born again. And pointing out what sin is according to God's Word. The preacher's got to be faithful at that today. Because let me tell you, people's attitude changes from generation to generation concerning what is sin. Now, I promise you, there's things going on and accepted. Hey, you guys, look up here, quit playing. There's things going on in lives a generation ago would have been condemned as sin. Can I tell you something? If it was sin 10 years ago or 30 years ago, it's still sin today. There's got to be somebody with enough backbone to stand up and preach it. Stand up and tell it. And who else is going to do it if the man of God, the man called of God's not willing to do it? The man of God's about it, got to be concerned about sin in his own life. Sorry is the person that's always trying to help other people to get over the sin problem and never deals with sin in their own life. Now, the preacher's not a perfect man. He's a saved man, and he's a called man. But he has to deal with the same things you deal with. And yet, many times, they're magnified in his life. But he's got to deal with them. Because he's a man called of God. He is standing in his stead. He is God's preacher. He's been entrusted with the Word of God. And we must never forget that we cannot help others with their sin problem if we never deal with ours and get victory over the sin problem that plagues our life. The man who is called of God must not glorify himself, but the one who called him. Look at verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself. Now, if anybody ever had reason to glorify himself, Christ did. He had no sin. He was perfect. He was undefiled. He had never thought a wrong thought. He had never done a wrong deed. He had never taken a crooked step. He had never been inconsistent or dishonest in anything. Theologically, it's called, he was impeccable, sinless, holy, undefiled. He can't glorify in himself. The man of God can't. Our job is to glorify Christ. Beware of young preachers that are always looking for somebody to praise them. The honest preacher must be willing to deflect all glory to God. He cannot glorify himself. I know some people who call themselves preachers that are more in love with themselves than they are Jesus. And that's a disgrace to the cause of Christ. For a man called of God. And then lastly, let me give you a word about the ladies who are married or will be married to a man called of God. Now, in the Old Testament, the priest could get married. If they didn't, how would there be any little priests coming along since they were of the tribe of Levi? Okay? They got married. They weren't Catholic priests. Just thought I'd point that out. But I want you to think about the ladies the man called of God marry. Now I want you to know when God called me, I was already married. I didn't marry a woman that had dedicated herself to God. She had not been called of God. And I'll be honest with you, as God was dealing with my heart, one of the things I struggled with was how was my wife going to be affected by this? How would she act or react? And I'd never one time talked to her about it. Be honest with you, I was scared to death too. Because I didn't marry a lady that had surrendered her life to be a preacher's wife. But God was calling. And I had to do something or die, I felt like in my heart. So I knelt at the altar. And as I knelt there at the altar, I said, God, I know you're calling me, but I've got a wife. And she didn't marry a preacher. And I don't know how this is going to react or cause her to react. And I said, God, you've got to touch her heart. I no more than got that out of my mouth till I felt her arm slip around my waist. And she knelt beside me and said, honey, I know what you're doing. God's calling you to preach, isn't he? I said, yes. She said, well, I want to surrender my life with you to serve God. Amen. Oh my, what a blessing. What a blessing. And I want to say just a few things about the woman that marries the man called of God. There's not much said about them in the Bible. But I want to say to you some things from personal experience. And young men, you better be concerned about who you marry if you are called of God. You better be honest with her, and she'd better be honest with you. Outside of the Holy Spirit, no one can be a greater help to the man called of God than his wife, his helpmeet. Nobody should pray for me with greater enthusiasm than my wife prays for me. Nobody should be a greater encourager to the man called of God than the wife God gives her. She helps him. Let me tell you some of the ways she helps. Now, my wife doesn't get my outlines for me. A lot of times it's joked about. And I know some ladies who are married to men that could do a better job than the preachers when it comes to outlining a sermon. But oh my, the woman that the man called of God marries is of great help to him. Outside of the Holy Spirit, no one is of greater help. She's a great help by gently pointing out habits that could hinder his ministry or irritate other people. You do know we're prone to habits. We fall into little things. Or the truth is, we'll say it 46 times. Or we'll use the word unprecedented. Y'all heard the news. The president used the word unprecedented over and over and over and over and over and over again. Well, thank God he's given me somebody that loves me that helps point those things out before they become a habit. We're men, we're depraved, we scratch. And scratching's inappropriate, period, when you're standing up here. I'm talking about the woman the man of God marries. But gently pointing out habits or falling into a routine that hinders or could irritate, could hurt his ministry. And my wife doesn't like to do this, I don't think. She may get more joy out of it than I think, but many has been the time that she'll say, "Honey, are you aware that you said this about 4 times in the message over and over and over again?" Now, I appreciate that. She wasn't trying to be ugly. She was trying to help me. And nobody outside of Jesus and Mama ought to love me more than the woman who married the man called of God. They help you dress appropriately. Now, some preachers need the help. Others have decent taste in choosing suits and ties and shirts and combinations. Others don't. But one of the two areas of great need in the ministry today that would irritate my mama to death and irritates me is that the man called of God doesn't comb his hair properly. He looks like some weirdo trying to be fashionable in the world, spiked. He doesn't dress as a man called of God ought to dress. Hey, well, the people are casual. Hey, you're the man called of God. You're representing God. You've been entrusted with the gospel. When you come to church, you ought to dress up, not down. You do it for Him, out of respect for the calling and the position of the man called of God. He ought to keep his hair groomed and cut. I see preachers with their hair turning up. I ought to put a bow in their hair. Say, "Kissy, kissy." Men called of God standing before the people in golf shirts and blue jeans. We're representing the Lord. Did you ever stop to think in the Old Testament it was God Himself who designed the garments that the high priest and the priests wore? And I want you to know they stood out from everybody else's garment. They weren't dressed down, they were dressed up. And the man of God ought to, out of respect to God and the dignity of the office God has put him in, dress appropriately. Not one of those will stand in this pulpit while I'm here with his hair spiked and his golf shirt on and his blue jeans. They buy them with holes in them now. I don't understand that. All of mine had holes in them, and I was ashamed of them as a boy. And when they got so old you couldn't patch them, Mama cut up the areas that could be used and made patches for my other ones. She can help him dress appropriately. And then look at the man of God. Mama said, always check the two extremes, the hair and the feet. if the hair's not cut properly or combed decently, and if the shoes aren't shined, something's wrong with his character. I believe Mama. She can help him in those areas and ought to help him. And any wife of a man who says he's called of God that says, "Oh, honey, I like that spiked hair." Well, let's move on. The woman who marries the man called of God can help him strengthen his weaknesses. We all have them. You know, one of the great things about marriage is that in our lives, every man and every woman has some weaknesses. And I can be a strength in the areas of my wife's weakness, and she can be a strength in the area of my weaknesses. And that sure does make up for a wonderful relationship. She can help him by letting him know when he's done well. Now, my wife doesn't brag on me. She doesn't pat me on the back and say, "Oh, honey, that was the most wonderful message." But when God uses me, she'll say, "Honey, God used you this morning." And oh my, what an encouragement. I'd rather have that than good message from 10,000 church members. See, the wife of a preacher is his helpmeet, his completer, his companion, his counselor, his prayer partner, his soul-winning partner, the heart and soul of the home. She's the manager of the home. She's mama to your children. She's the preacher's sweetheart and lover. She's his best friend. She's a part of every success he enjoys. And she suffers with him through every heartache and every failure. The wife of the preacher is to be God's special servant, ministering to her husband so the man of God can minister to others for Christ's sake. And I want you to know it is a privilege to be a man called of God. I hope you'll learn to respect them. You have treated me with kindness and dignity, and I appreciate it. I hope the next person God puts in this place, that you will love him and encourage him and treat him with the same kindness. Because he's a man called of God. Father, thank you for the Word of God, for the little instruction from your Word. Help. Help us, Lord Jesus, to realize that when we are a part of a church family, we have a church home, we have a pastor, we're truly blessed because we have a man called of God to be there to help us and pray for us and weep with us and give direction and counsel to us. And we thank you. We thank you. Lord, for 45 years, most of those years, I've never had a pastor. I've been the pastor. Man of God, for the most part, does not have a pastor. Unless he has a pastor friend that he can get counsel from. But it sure does help when a people loves him and prays for him and encourages him to be faithful. When he has to take a strong stand, what a blessing it is when people say, "Thank you, preacher, for standing for God." God, I pray that you'll raise up more men called of God out of your churches. I pray that you'll call out men from this congregation, young men, who will go across this country and this nation and repopulate our nation with new churches that are on fire for the old-time religion and old-fashioned gospel. Lord, I ask you to bless this church and her ministry. And bless the men who serve with me, who are also men called of God. Help us to be faithful and give you our best, and help train people who will honor you and magnify you in their homes and in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.